Foster parents are urgently needed to provide loving homes for children. Remy Vista Foster Family Agency provides professional social workers, monthly training, and financial support in a Christian-based atmosphere. Open your heart and your home to a child that needs you. Contact Remy Vista Foster Family Agency here in Chico at 893-4784. That's 893-4784. And make a difference in a child's life today.
Kathy Sewinvac is Chico's sewing machine and vacuum authority, specializing in parts, sales, and service. Family owned and operated for over 35 years, Kathy Sewinvac has a huge inventory and knowledgeable staff to take care of all of your sewing and vacuum needs. Stop by Kathy Sewinvac today on Cohasset Road across from Kmart. That's Kathy Sewinvac, Chico's sewing machine and vacuum authority.
Now let's get serious. What do you think about when you imagine your teenage son or daughter behind the wheel of a car? Is there anything more important to you than their safety? Northern California Driving School is here to help. All their instructors are retired California Highway Patrol officers, and they pride themselves on safety. When it comes to keeping your kids safe on the road, you can trust Northern California Driving School in Chico at 899-9307. Get your child the driver's training they need. Call Northern California Driving School today, 899-9307.
Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way.
The North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. April 25th, 2012. We're going to spend all day today and tomorrow talking about nothing but religion. Well, why not? This is a Christian radio station, so we're going to talk about religion today. And because so often during the week I get wrapped into politics and economics, and sometimes you talk about sports and things going on around town. But when Pastor Donald Jordan at Redeemer Lutheran Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church, is here, we like to focus on something that's going on that we can relate to in our lives today. And what we're going to talk about is, what was Jesus doing on earth for 40 days after he came back from the dead? What was he doing? He was hanging out. He was doing something. 40 days is a long time. Think about what you would do for 40 days between Easter. Think of all the things you've done just now for the last 2 weeks since Easter ended. And think about all the things you've done. You've done a lot of things. What was Jesus doing for 40 days during when he came back from the dead? And with that in mind, let's welcome Donald Jordan, the pastor over at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church over on Hawthorne. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. And to that, all I can say is Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He has. He has risen. And how was Easter services for you?
It was very, very great. In fact, I tell our people and I remind them every day, Easter is not a day. It's actually a season. But it was jubilant, to be sure. But we're keeping that joy going for what I call these great 50 days of Easter. So every Sunday, we still have the white paraments. We sing the Alleluias. We're singing the Easter hymns. Mm. So Easter isn't over for us in the liturgical churches.
Did you get a big congregation on Easter Sunday? Because people, that's when usually the one-timers come out, is on Easter and maybe on Christmas. Is just they'll come for those days, and then they never come back to church again until 365 days later. Did you get a big crowd?
Yes, we did. It took a significant jump, and as is typical, the next Sunday we took a big dip. Easter is big in America. Uh-huh. It really is. It gets the people out, and Easter is much bigger than Christmas, actually, which is rather striking.
And it's a more significant day.
It is for the life of the church, and I think for those of us who go through the 40 days of Lent, we practice this fasting, this prayer, we have extra services on Wednesday, and there's kind of this build-up, this ramping up Easter. Holy Week is busy with Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter comes. It's like the culmination. But I think that's wrong in some sense. Easter is actually the beginning. And even for Christ, it is recorded in Scripture that he rose and he showed himself to the apostles, to his believers, and he was busy doing his work, continuing his teaching. So even for us as Christians, it's not really a letdown to come to Easter. We're not in the doldrums right now, but we're actually in this season now that is very joyful, very exuberant as we celebrate the resurrection.
I think one of the most difficult parts, and I guess I relate this to my former career, I guess current career as a reporter, there'd be so many times we would come across a story, you know, maybe the time changes or a traditional story of that comes around once a year. And you'd have to find a different way to tell that same story. The Veterans Day, going to, you know, or Memorial Day. You have to find a way to make it different than what it was done the year before and the year before and the year before, because it's pretty much the same story. Veterans Day, honoring those who've died for our country. And likewise, pastors have to do the same type of thing. Every year they've got their Easter service. And every year it's the same message, but it has to be delivered in sort of a different way. How do you make it so that it's different and it keeps people coming back and making it unique?
I had this great line in my sermon on Easter where I essentially told the people, to paraphrase from a professor at seminary, that you don't have to impress the people on Easter because God is there every Sunday in church, mm-hmm. and we should be more concerned about disappointing God. In other words, if you put God first and consider that, you don't have to be as concerned about impressing the people. Now, being a pastor, I'm not in the same business as you. I don't have to worry about ratings and things like this. We don't have an Arbitron. And I really do have to look at it that way, because if I try to come up with something new, pull a new cat out of the hat, so to speak, or whatever, mm-hmm. then I'm trying to tickle the people's ears. And how long can you do that? How long can you keep the top 10 going? Mm-hmm. And I think the resurrection is very simple. You just preach it. You preach it in all the joy and confidence. And I think what does change is the people's circumstances. And they will relate to that unchanging message of Jesus crucified and risen. For example, last Sunday, I conducted a funeral at our church for an elderly lady. And her family knew about the resurrection last Saturday because it was significant to them. Their mother had died. They needed hope. They needed certainty that her body would rise again, that she has eternal life with Christ. So they didn't really need anything fancy. They just wanted the pure word of truth. So that's the way I look at Easter. We don't really have to impress the people or come up with something new. Yeah, it has to have some joy. It is significant. Mm-hmm. It is a high day, to be sure. And we shouldn't be listless or lifeless or lethargic about it.
There's the sizzle and then there's the steak. What you're saying is that Easter is the steak. You don't really need a lot of sizzle with something as profound as the resurrection of Jesus.
That's right. That's right. You don't have to add any frosting to this. It is what it is, and it is significant and profound for us that Christ is risen. And our whole faith hinges on this, too. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. You're still in your sins, and it's all useless. So I think, and I believe and confess, this is the clincher, the resurrection. So there are many other things he did in his life. He died, was buried, and so on. But this is where it all hinges on, the resurrection. Did he rise or did he not?
And we're going to continue our discussion with Pastor Donald Jordan at Our Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. And we're going to discuss over the next 20 minutes what Jesus was doing on earth. Did he do a touchdown dance in front of Pontius Pilate and say, I told you so? And if he didn't, why not? We'll continue our discussion when we come back. Jerry O'Lennon here for ABC Books. If you're looking to save money and get quality new and used books, try ABC Books in Chico. They're at the corner of East and Cohasset near Walgreens. Stop in, say hi to their friendly staff. They can show you how you can save 50 to 90% off new and used books. You never know what hidden gems you may find there. Call ABC Books today at 893-4342. 893-4342. ABC Books, where saving money is as easy as ABC. As parents, we know there are many options for the education of our children. Champion Christian School has been in our community since 1991. Because of their caring staff and challenging curriculum, their students have gone on to top colleges and universities, including Baylor, UC Davis, USC, and West Point. Champion Christian School is fully accredited, offering quality academic and athletic programs for grades 7 through 12. Visit them online at ychampion.org or call 345-8008 and make an appointment to visit their fine campus.
Champion Christian School, educating champions for Christ.
Here's a new idea for landscape supplies. Low prices.
We found the best possible price in town at Focal Point Landscape. They're almost half the price of every other landscape supply in Chico.
That's Focal Point Landscape at 570-7805.
Only $21 per yard for road base and $19 per yard for pea gravel. Specializing in compost, mulch, and garden soil for only $35 per yard. Call today at 570-7805.
570-7805.
Focal Point Landscape, the best price in town for landscape supplies.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, 8:43 in the morning on this April 25th, 2012. We're expecting rain today and tomorrow. Hasn't come yet. I thought it was going to be here by now. But boy, it's definitely going to come if you look outside. Pastor Donald Jordan of Our Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. Did I call you Our Redeemer again? No, Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. I keep getting you mixed up, Pastor Jordan, with Our Divine Savior. It's Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, and their phone number is 342-6085. Okay, Pastor, so Jesus rises from the dead. We know that he has marks in his hands and in his feet to show that that is indeed him. He's actually tangible. You can touch him and feel him. He's made the proof. What is he doing when he first gets out of the tomb? What's the first thing he does?
Okay, on Easter Sunday, we really have the most significant appearances there. He appears to the ladies next to the garden tomb. Obviously, the guards were shaken when he rose from the grave. Then he goes and shows himself to the apostles behind the locked doors. But Thomas was not there that Easter Sunday. There are many other accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we also have the road to Emmaus where he showed himself in the breaking of the bread. That's all on Easter Sunday. And what is interesting about Christ is that they did not recognize him. In fact, on the road to Emmaus, it says that God prevented them from seeing him and discerning him. So it strikes me as odd that they would not have recognized his face.
Now, why do you think that
was? Now, I know Jerry O'Lennon. I've seen your face enough. It's not a bad-looking face, and you know mine, but that's what we look for. We look at faces to recognize and identify people, don't we? Why didn't they look at Jesus' face? In the case of Thomas, 1 week later, which is the first week after Easter, Thomas wanted to see his hands and his side and his feet, which I think is striking because theologically that tells us we go back to the cross. It's all about the cross, that Easter's never divorced from the death of Jesus on the cross. So they didn't want to look at his face. They wanted to see the marks. And I think that's how God reveals himself to us in the Word, that Jesus said, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again.
But here's something I want to make sure we get clarified, and I think I know the answer. Jesus was willing to give the doubting Thomas the proof that he needed, right? But he wouldn't do that for those who persecuted him and those who hung him on the cross.
Right.
Why is it that he allowed the doubting Thomas, one of his apostles, to have that proof that he needed?
Those were his followers, those were his believers, those were his disciples, and they would be the men who would be commissioned to go and preach the Word of God, administer the sacraments, and bring this good news to the world. And therefore, Jesus did not say to Thomas, I'm not going to show myself. He actually did show himself because, you see, faith is not faith in a myth. It's in a real Jesus, in a risen Jesus. And Thomas, actually, the Bible says he was unbelieving. He didn't believe. It wasn't even doubting. It was that he didn't believe in the resurrection. Here's another striking thing. The first followers of Jesus did not believe in the resurrection. Now, we castigate liberals today who say it's all a myth and so on, but think about this. They did not believe he actually rose until he manifested himself to them in his word and to Thomas by showing not his face, but the hands and the feet and the scars, because he wanted them to go back and recall that he had prophesied many, many times, the Son of Man will suffer many things, he will be crucified, he will be buried, and the third day he will rise again. How many times did Jesus say that to them? And then he said to Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, which means it's our greater blessing today because you and I have not seen Jesus, but we believe because we have his word. What's more important, appearances or the word? Well, the answer is the word is more important.
Well, you know, I've had atheists on this show, and they will say, I will believe when you give me proof. Because, you know, they would say, that then I will believe. And I'm thinking to myself, well, then you're never going to believe. It's never going to happen. God, Jesus is God, is never going to do that. Because, you know, I've realized that even if he did do some sort of incredible miracle, they still would find a way not to believe. They would say, well, this was, you know, this was some sort of weird of astrological event or something that took place. The belief has to come from the heart. It can't necessarily come from the brain.
Yeah, there's several theories, in fact. Apologists or defenders of the faith have said this. Number one, Jesus died and Jesus rose. That's one possibility, right? It is a possibility, and we believe as Christians that is true. Number two is that he didn't rise and the apostles were deceived, and we call that the hallucination theory. The third one is the myth that the apostles actually said he rose, but he really didn't. They were myth makers. Then there's the conspiracy theory, and then was called the swoon theory, that Jesus really didn't die, that he just went unconscious on the cross, and he just came back to consciousness.
Oh, okay.
There's about five theories, but really, you only have to come down to really two of them. Either it's a myth, or it actually happened. It's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the Gospels, I would contend that all of this is really history, just leaving aside faith and Christianity. You have to say that all of this is a record of history in the life of Jesus. Even the phrase, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, we know this was true.
Mm-hmm.
We know he was crucified both from the Bible and extra-biblical sources. We know he was buried. These are historical facts. So what would change when it comes to the resurrection? We still have credible eyewitnesses and facts based in the Bible and in secular history.
He descended into hell. What does that mean? What did he do in hell when he came back from the dead? I want to find this out. And Pastor Donald Jordan will have the answer for us when we wrap up this morning's show. And he'll also be on the show tomorrow, by the way, to talk about hell. So this is a perfect segue. We'll be right back.
Express Mobile Auto Glass. With over 15 years of experience, Express Mobile Auto Glass provides expert, friendly, and reliable auto glass replacement, and their work is all guaranteed. They have a large inventory of windshields for speedy and same-day service. Express Mobile Auto Glass serves Glen, Tehama, and Butte counties. Call Express Mobile Auto Glass today at 521-9597 for a free estimate. That's 521-9597.
The second edition of California Dream Week Festival celebrates the creativity of California's North State youth. It'll take place in Chico from May 10th through the 13th. The four-day festival is the culmination of a sustainability design competition in which high school juniors and seniors compete to win higher education scholarships. Visitors may purchase passports to gain entrance to the festival. All proceeds from California Dream Week passport sales fund its higher education scholarship program.
For more information about California Dream Week, go online to californiadreamweek.org or call 898-8009.
Capelli's Hair and Fashion Salon at 1368 East 1st Avenue here in Chico, across from In Motion Fitness. Capelli's is a full-service family hair salon, providing women's, men's, and kids' haircuts, blow dries and styles, colors, highlights, perms, manicures and pedicures, relaxers, braids, fades, and extensions. Call Capelli's today and ask for Shalonda or Deborah at Capelli's, 343-1141. That's 343-1141.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Talking with the Reverend Donald Jordan, the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. Divine service 10 o'clock on Sunday, and then Sunday school 9 o'clock, 342-6085 to learn more information about the good pastor's ministry. Okay, so Jesus is up and around. Why didn't he go up to Pontius Pilate and do the touchdown dance? Why didn't he go up to Herod and do the touchdown dance and say, look, I'm here, you were wrong?
He said that if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen to someone who comes back from the dead. Mm-hmm. They asked him to come down from the cross when they were mocking him and said, if you really come down, then we'll believe in you. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to play their game. You can't set the terms for Jesus. He says, believe the word. So there's no record of him appearing to his opponents. He went to his children, his followers, and strengthened them. He bestowed the office of the keys upon Thomas and the apostles, said to go and forgive sins. And then we have various appearances was for the 40 days to the apostles at the Sea of Galilee when he had the barbecued fish and so on. He restored Peter three times saying, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep three times. And then, of course, he went to the Mount of Olives outside of Bethany, and there on the 40th day he ascended back to the Father visibly. And then we still have actually 10 more days after ascension, which is the 40th day after Easter. 10 more days where the church is emboldened, then the Holy Spirit comes. But we don't have a lot of record of what Christ was doing. We have the Great Commission, of course, in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them all things that I have taught you. But that's about it. One or two chapters at the end of the Gospels, not a lot of material. But it was significant because the church was emboldened to go and preach.
Okay, but he did descend into hell.
Yes, the descent into hell.
Wasn't that the touchdown dance?
Well, in a sense, and I like your athletic analogies and metaphors, Jerry, okay. and that's true. This is a rather cryptic phrase in the Creed. How many times we say it? He descended into hell. We don't know exactly when this was, but it was sometime between his death and his resurrection on Easter morning. Okay. But Scripture references this. There's one reference, 1 Peter 3, that says Christ was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, to which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. So there, he went to announce his victory over Satan and hell, not to liberate them from hell, because once you're in hell, you're in hell. Once you're in heaven, you're in heaven. You can't change the state of those in eternity. But he went there to announce his victory and his routing of Satan. Yes.
Well, you see, I've heard different theories. Are there different theories on that Jesus did go down to hell and free those and said, I've forgiven you your sins, and from here on out, it's a new day, and you are ascended into heaven with me because I've forgiven your sins? I've heard that might be one possibility as well, is that he did free the souls. From that point on, everything started new, and everybody essentially got a clean slate. That would not be what is believed, or is...
No, because in Hebrews it says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So God judges us when we leave this world, and our destiny is either in heaven or hell. I think what this passage is saying here is he went and preached, as it says, and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. He preached his victory to them. And if we go beyond that, then we're engaging in speculation.
All right. Okay. So there's no evidence or scriptural basis to believe that he freed those who were in hell before his ascension.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so what else was happening with Jesus during those 40 days?
Well, he shows himself, he teaches them, he proclaims the kingdom, and he sends them forth, and he manifests himself and emboldens those apostles, but the real power wouldn't come until after the ascension, until Pentecost, so it's all kind of preparatory, but as I said, there's not a lot of material there, but there's sufficient material, and here's the real thing, too, for any of the skeptics listening today or the doubters, and by the way, I want to say that even as Christians, we have our doubts sometimes.
Sure.
We do. We would really like to believe this is all true, but who rises from the dead, see? Mm-hmm. Go to the cemetery, go to the mortuary. We just don't encounter this, and it sounds so wonderful, and we'd like it. But Jesus was there showing himself to be the risen Christ to these men and these women manifesting himself. And this is significant in the shift of what occurred after this, because they were turned to a great confession of faith. They were strong in this faith. They were emboldened to proclaim to Jesus not only that they had the word of God that testified and prophesied to him, but they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. That's key. They were actually the witnesses. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people tell us today, well, you have to be a witness for Christ. They say, I can't. I haven't seen him. A witness, that's a technical term. It's a forensic term that means you've seen the event. Now, the question is, are Peter, James, John, Matthew, these men, Paul, are they credible witnesses? Mm-hmm. Or was it just a conspiracy?
Right. Well, the doubter is going to say they were all in cahoots, and they said, we're going to put this sham on people. And people have said, people have said the same thing about the Mormon Church, for example, with Joseph Smith, and that these people got together and they say they witnessed this, it didn't really happen. And people might make that same argument. Certainly, the Mormons might say the same type of thing. Well, we have no proof of this.
This is far different from the Book of Mormon, however, and Joseph Smith, where you have many, many writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all from different perspectives.
Right.
You have historians like Josephus and Philo and Tacitus and early historians mentioning that the Christians all believed in the resurrection of Jesus, which is attested to in the four Gospels, in 1 Corinthians. It is a hard fact. It is history. So if this was a conspiracy, they really had to scramble very, very quickly, and the Jewish authorities didn't know what to do with this. They thought it was just utter deception, and they were really scrambling too.
But you see, one thing that fascinates me is if I'm Pontius Pilate, well, maybe if I'm not, well, gosh, I hate to think about that, but let's, if Pontius Pilate must have heard these stories about Jesus walking, coming back, wouldn't it have been, wouldn't he have wanted to say, well, I want to see this for myself. I'm going to go seek him out or go get him and bring him back so we could crucify him a second time. Why did the Romans...
Why didn't they come at him again and really do it?
And the Jewish
exactly.
Jews do it a second because time.
Because they would have been totally embarrassed. They would have right. shown themselves to be fools because Jesus is true and all men are liars and fools.
Right, right.
They're rotting in the grave and Jesus is risen today. That's mm-hmm. why, because God always has the last word. And when you think about this, you think about all these facts. Jesus was a real human. He was crucified. He had real followers who took this all to heart. It was not a myth. It really did happen.
Okay. It goes so fast. You're going to be back tomorrow. Pastor Donald Jordan of Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. We're going to talk about an unpleasant place. We're going to talk about hell. And you actually got some attention from the newspaper, a story you wrote about hell in the newspaper, local newspaper. We're going to talk about that. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow with more live local talk on KKXX Life Radio. So long, everybody. Join us tomorrow.
Everybody is concerned about energy costs today. Leaking air distribution ducts could add as much as 20% on your heating and cooling costs.
Air Right Heating and Air is here to help with full service installation and repairs, air duct cleaning and sealing. Call today, 891-4688.
Air Right Heating and Air specializes in energy efficient systems and solar installations. Locally owned and operated, owner Steve Antini has been in business for over 20 years.
Go online to their website, www.airrite.us, for specials, discounts, and coupons.
Air Right Heating and Air at 891-4688.
891-4688.
Holbrook's Clearance Center, the North State's number one furniture liquidators.
Holbrook's Clearance Center sells national name brand furniture at 50 to 75% off retail.
Holbrook's has national name brand mattresses, twin, full, queens, and kings, starting at just $99.
Both beds, $299.
Holbrook's has something comfortable for every room in your home, and we'll sell you the inventory right off the floor.
Holbrook's Clearance Center is everything for your home.
Come on down to us, open 7 days a week.
My name is Kim Burke, the owner of Chico's Automasters. We believe in providing an automotive service people can trust and rely on. Here at Chico's Automasters, we are all invested in the community and are here for the long haul. We believe in taking care of each of our clients. That is why we warranty our work for one full year. We are a full-service automotive shop, anything from an oil change to rebuilding your engine.
That's Chico's Automasters at 1334 Park Avenue. Call 899-7194. They're on the corner of Park and 14th Street for all your foreign and domestic maintenance or repairs. Call 899-7194.